Please stand as you're able and join with me responsively in this morning's call to worship. As darkness gives way to light and winter sleep to fresh beginnings, like the green shoots of renewed life stirring beneath the soil,
we welcome an awakening of God's word in our lives.
In this time of reflection and repentance, we affirm our identity, we claim our security as children of God.
Please join me in singing hymn number 81, Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days.
This is proof of God's great love, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Trusting in God's grace, let us stand and confess our sin. God of mercy, you sent Jesus to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained, and great when we are small. We have failed to love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You may be seated. We have come together this morning for renewal in worship and as a community of faith. We've greeted one another, laughed, and hugged. But now the time of reflection and stillness is upon us. It is the first Sunday in Lent, the season for journeys of the heart. Close your eyes. Be still. Listen. We are entering a holy time. The Lenten candles have been lit, but over the next 6 weeks, the light will slowly fade into darkness. For we are retelling the story of Jesus' betrayal and suffering and death. We do this not to be morbid, but because in the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, God is revealed. In the amazing transformation of death into life, in endings transformed into beginnings, and in dead ends that become a source for new possibilities.
This is the sacred center of our faith, the truth made manifest in Jesus Christ, that God is in each and every one of us, quietly transforming us and the world. In his pain and suffering, Jesus speaks to every pain and loss you have endured and offers you the promise of transformation. It's an old story, but it still has the power to reveal, to heal, and to redeem. Jesus is at the heart of our faith, in the depth of our souls. He is waiting for us, inviting us to leave ordinary time and follow along with him on the journey that brought him to the cross. Listen in silence, for Jesus is calling you.
As we extinguish this light, we acknowledge the darkness and pain of injustice in the world. Please join me in prayer as printed in the bulletin. Loving God, as we journey through this holy season of Lent, give us strength and courage to make the changes that are needed in our lives. Open our hearts and minds to your steadfast presence and help us to put our trust in you. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, listen so that you may live. The steadfast love of the Lord never fails. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. You may be seated. Let us pray. Since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, cause us to hunger for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. The first gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
Little confusion because I brought the wrong bulletin up. Olivia, you want to come forward? How are you? Looks like you're going to be a world traveler. You've got places all over. So go out and explore your dreams. Do you like to do that? Yeah? You know, this space is full of dreams. Things to be explored. Right here in our hearts. We don't have to go to the Eiffel Tower or Big Ben. We just stay here and remember Jesus and explore his love for us. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah. And you know, today we've got all kinds of new things up here. Come on up. Let's look. Let's see. We've got the silver trays. Like always, yes. And you know what's in there, don't you? What's in there? Is it the juice? Yes, it's the juice. And we have a pitcher and a chalice. That's what that's called. But they're in sort of a purplish color, just like these pyramids are purple. And then we have a bowl, a big bowl with a drying cloth and even a dipper. And we've got these candles. Again, with purple. Interesting, huh? All of these things are here to help us remember Jesus, especially the time that happened just before he died for us. For instance, the last night of his life on earth, he shared bread and juice with his disciples in a very special meal that we call the Last Supper. And on that night, he actually washed the disciples' feet. How would you like to have your feet washed by somebody else? No. But he did it out of love to help them know that they had to be clean in spirit so that they could stay with him. Pretty interesting, huh? And these lights, well, Miss Liz just said, and Miss Sue agreed, that these lights remind us of Jesus. And each week we're going to douse another light, put another one out, so that the darkness that precedes the crucifixion, the killing of Jesus, can start filling our hearts. Kind of a scary thing. But we were overtaken, humans were overtaken by evil, and they killed Jesus, and the darkness was in their hearts. So that's why we do this, is to remind ourselves of the darkness. But have fear, have no fear, okay? Don't worry, because Easter is coming, okay? And Easter will be filled with joy and light and hope, because Jesus did rise from death for us, okay? Yeah, you want to say a prayer with everybody? Okay, let's pray. Oh God, you give us dreams. You cause us to want to explore the world and explore our life with you in our hearts. We thank you for this time of Lent, filled with reminders of who you are and who you were amongst us. We thank you for Jesus, that he chose death so that we might live in his love and glory forever. Amen. Amen. You can go back.
Come and taste of the Father's love. Thank you, choir. That was pretty moving. Before we proceed, I also want to take a moment to say thank you to Richard Patterson. I don't know where he got to. Richard has created and constructed and implanted a brand new handrail for everybody to use on the organ side of the chancel. Yes, hallelujah that. So if you've hesitated to be a liturgist before because of going up and down the stairs. Our second reading today comes to us from Luke's Gospel. Jesus has been baptized, and now he is being led out into the wilderness. Let us listen for God's word to God's people. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen. So do you realize that we have not walked through an entire season of Lent together? In 2020, Lent began on March 4th, and we met on the 8th in worship, celebrated Youth Sunday on March 15th, the third Sunday of Lent. And I will always remember that day with joy. Every youth in the confirmation class did a terrific job. Aaron and Connor and Jonathan and Catherine and Mark, they truly blessed us. But it was also the last Sunday we worshiped together for a long, long time. Then last year, we began to come back to in-person worship on the second Sunday of Lent. What a time of trial we have survived. Many people have been tempted to just walk away from their faith throughout all of that. Where has God been in the midst of all this craziness, they say? I suspect that we're all praying that this year we will share the entire season together. So given all the ups and downs of the last 24 months, I wonder, what's the value of Lent in this time and in this place? What meaning does it have in our lives? Which practices are still worthwhile? Why do we do Lent? I am a firm believer that if we are to be the best persons, the most faithful persons and followers of Christ that we can be, we need to ask these sorts of questions of ourselves. So that's what this sermon is about. What is the value, the meaning of Lent for each of us? For most folks, Luke's story of Jesus' wilderness trials is pretty uncomfortable. It reminds us of the ancient Hebrews who spent 40 years wandering the wilderness and being tempted. And like them, Jesus faced the devil there. But more importantly, he faced himself there. And by that I mean the one who tempts him is asking him to consider if he can walk the walk of faith that he proclaims, or if he's simply all talk. In this first question, the tempter actually is asking Jesus if he really depends on God for food. Go make this stone into bread. He's referring back to the time the Hebrews were roaming the desert and had run out of food. Remember? They begged God for nourishment, and after humbling themselves, God showered just enough manna upon them to survive for one day. A pattern of eat and pray, sleep and repeat developed within that people. And over time, they learned to rely on God's power for food and for life itself. Yet the devil suggests that if Jesus is truly God's son, then he shouldn't have to rely on God's gift. He should be able to feed himself. The question that's really being posed is, aren't you just as powerful as God? Or are you just a poor Jewish servant who relies on God for everything? Ouch. That devil had a way of implying that serving the Lord was shameful, even though he too was a member of God's royal court who performed an explicit task. In similar fashion, the devil tempts Jesus to throw himself off the top of the temple in the hope the angels will catch him. He's asking if Jesus is too important and that God will not let him die because of that. Would Jesus follow his ancestors down the path of idol worship, worshiping himself as the golden calf, so to speak? And the idea of being given power over the entire world, if only he would pledge faith to the tempter? Jesus and all the Hebrew children had been living under Rome's thumb for years and years when this happened, thinking that he could turn the tables on Rome, taking over all the cities. Must have been enticing. Jesus, he must have been considering his options well. He knew he was the man who had just heard a few days ago that heavenly voice declaring that he was God's son. And he needed to discern what it meant to be that son. Who was he if he didn't trust God to care for him, his father? Who was he if he believed he was so important that God would do anything to keep him alive? Who was he if he put himself or the tempter ahead of God in his life? Lent is our time of remembering these questions and considering how we'll answer them. Lent is a time to re-examine our lives as people who claim to follow Christ, asking whether or not we rely on God for all things in life is a good question. Okay, I am going to speak in the first person for a while. Not because it's about me, but because it's a way of all of us hearing the questions that I'm about to share. Ready? We've all been taught to be self-sufficient and independent, right? Yeah? But to what ends? Do I want to believe everything in my life is my choice? Can I ask this of myself and expect an honest answer, or will I wriggle away from the depth of the challenge? True, it might be kind of interesting to be king or queen of the world for a day, getting whatever I want, whenever I want. To be in charge of everything and everyone could really feel invigorating. But then again, no. Who'd want to be like Evan in the movie Oh God, remember? He discovered that the kind of power God has would be overwhelming to a simple human being. But I should probably ask myself some questions to help me rate myself on the self-importance scale of life. For instance, do I think I'm more important to God than Joe or Sally or whomever would be? Do I truly believe that my needs are greater than theirs? And is my faith something that God must earn? Does God need to prove God's love for me before I will confess his lordship in my life? Maybe I should come up with some kind of test to see how God would respond. It's easy to toss those questions around as if they were a party game. But there are 39 chapters in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament that go to great lengths to explain to us why these are vitally important issues. And they require well-considered, honest, complete answers. So think for a moment. What evidence have you seen or experienced that makes you think you need only rely on yourself? And what of those, if any, might really be gifts from God? If threatened, would you say, what would you say is your capacity to cast off concerns and rely on God for food and water? And life itself. What if you lived in Ukraine right now? Do you believe God has been there for you when you're deep in the quagmires of life? Is it reasonable for any of us to ask God to prove his love for us? And if so, what's next? How do any of us proceed through life based on our answers? The way Luke tells it, Jesus was able to quickly respond to the devil. He went toe-to-toe with the guy. When the devil tossed out a question based on ancient scriptures, Jesus came right back at him with other scriptures. But more importantly, Jesus spoke with confident conviction and utter transparent honesty. And then he went out into the world to demonstrate his beliefs. His life is a tough act to follow. Thankfully, though, the Matthew reading, which actually comes to us from the Ash Wednesday lectionary, reminds us how we are to practice our faith by praying, giving alms, and fasting. These are activities Jesus regularly practiced, and through them we can demonstrate Jesus' life to the world. They offer us opportunities to express the hope of our faith, that we are trying our best to do as he asks and allow God to work through us so God's kingdom might be witnessed by everyone. Okay, then. How do any of these spiritual disciplines fit into our lives? Do they have value in the world now? The worst of the pandemic seems to be behind, but it also seems that we'll have COVID around in some form or another for years to come. So what do we make of this season? What meaning? What value does Lent have in life? Taking time to focus on ourselves, on who we are in relationship with God, isn't just good practice in theory. Asking the hard questions of ourselves helps us turn away from the golden calves that we create, and oh yes, we do. Looking at ourselves in the mirror is a humbling experience that can actually soften our hearts. Praying grounds us in the rich and fertile reality of God's presence in our lives. It soothes our souls and calms our minds when the world is going crazy all around us. And if we really focus, we sometimes are given the grace of sensing God's direction in our lives. So fasting. I am not much for one for giving things up unless it's to make room for something more important, something more life-affirming. And isn't that what God really wants for us? To live in the full assurance of God's love for the world? To express Jesus' blessings on life to the world? After all, he has asked us to be instruments of God's peace, to allow God to work through us to bring reconciliation and God's love into being wherever we go. And yes, that is a way of giving alms. Friends, by celebrating Lent, practicing these disciplines, our trust in God's love for us and for the world can only grow into a vibrancy that generates hope in those all around us. That trust and that hope is something the world has always needed, but even more so right now. Let us pray that each of us will invest ourselves in the practices of self-examination and prayer and the giving of alms and the making of space to allow God to work through us so the world will also feel the blessings Jesus offers. For he is the one who overcame temptation to distrust God by placing himself before God, and he overcame those temptations for love of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please join me in the hymn, I Love to Tell the Story. The words are printed in your bulletin.
The Apostles' Creed can be found on page 14 of the blue hymnals. Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The communion servers may come forward if
they're not there. My brothers and sisters, this is the first day of a six-week-long journey, a journey when we will come to the Lord's table again to receive the nourishment as did his disciples on that last night that he walked earth as fully human, yet fully God. Today we are invited to remember that event, his life, his gifts to us. So I invite you to come to this table. This is Christ's table. And join those who come from north and south and east and west to sit at table in the kingdom of God to remember that story. May the God of wilderness hopes be with you. Let us bring our hearts to God. With songs on our lips and in our hearts, let us praise God. Let us pray. O God, from the deep wilderness of chaos, you brought forth the refuge of your heart, creating mountains that shade the valleys below, rich grain and vegetables to feed the hungry, rivers and lakes filled with the water of life. This creation was entrusted to those shaped in your image, the first fruits of your love. But we chose to follow temptation into that wilderness we call death. Seeking to be generous to all, though, you continued to send prophets to us, women and men who carried your words to us in their hands and their hearts. Yet we continued to serve the empty promises of sin and fear. So you sent the word near to us in Jesus, the one who came to reveal your salvation to us. With old-timers as well as newcomers, with insiders and those who have stood outside, we offer our songs of praise to you. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, God of mercy and hope, and blessed is Jesus Christ, Lord of all. When he could have feasted on glory, he came to feed all who hungered for hope and for life. When he could have strode the halls of power, he chose to walk the wilderness, picking up all who stumble along the way. When he could have chosen the easy way, letting the angels carry the burden, he confronted death face to face, being flung into its wasteland where you brought him forth into new life. As we seek to believe in our hearts all he did and taught, as we try to confess his death and resurrection, let us proclaim the word of faith that is so mysterious. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God, led by you, we come to this table where the first fruits of redemption, the bread of life, and the cup of salvation are filled with the gifts of your Spirit and offered to all who gather before you. As we are fed by the bread, may we become generous as you, making no distinction as to who we will serve. As the cup nourishes us with your life, may we be poured out for others, feeding those who are hungry, joining the voices of the powerless, offering our lives in grace and hope to all. And when we gather at last where you dwell, we will celebrate the great feast of the first fruits of your love and grace, joining our sisters and brothers in praising you, God and community, holy in one. O Almighty and Most High God, you are our refuge, our fortress, and our God in whom we trust. You commanded your angels to guard us when we called out to you for help. For these gifts and so much more, we are grateful and praise your holy name. Hear us now as we pray for all who live in places of threat and danger, the known and the unknown. Help us trust in you, for you are able to make peace in the midst of warfare and turn rough places into level ground. We also pray for all who do not have enough to eat, enough to wear, enough justice. Help us to trust in you, for you fill the empty with good things and lift up the lowly. Help us share the abundance we enjoy and to work for the freedom and dignity of all your children. We pray for all who are chronically homeless, wandering the streets and sleeping in unprotected places. We pray for those who are homeless for a season because of a natural disaster or a war or economic woes. We trust in you for you to give even to the sparrow a nest where she may lay her young. And help us as we seek to assist those who need a place to live. We pray for the church as we waver and as we witness. Help us to trust in you, for you have called the church into being and have made us your body in and for the world. We pray most heartily for our sister churches throughout the Muskingum Valley Presbytery. Help us all to be the body you intend. We pray for those who suffer in body, mind, or heart. We trust in you, for you are able to heal and to make us whole in this life and in the next. Make us tender caregivers, that your healing power may be at work in us and through us. Hear our prayers, O God. As we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who is generous to all who call to him and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let us remember that night. According to Luke, the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, ordinary bread, and after giving thanks for it, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This bread is my body, broken for you, broken for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and eat of it. Do so in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup. And after giving thanks again, he said to them as he poured, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant, the seal of love." Whenever you do so, you remember me. Whenever you drink of the cup and eat of the bread, you proclaim your faith in Christ, the Christ who has come and who will come again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. As we did last month, we will take the bread together, and then the servers will serve you your juice, and we will take that together, okay? I invite you now to remember the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. Take and eat.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, this is the cup of salvation which has been spilt for you. Take and drink of it. Let us pray. O God, send us out from Christ's table to answer the summons into new life and to follow him with joy and gladness. Set our feet in his holy way, that our lives may be signs of his life and all we do may show his gracious love. Amen and amen.
Please join me in singing hymn number 399, We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. Please stand.
We walk by faith and not by sight.
Embark on our Lenten journey of faith. We remember Christ's journey through life. We remember how he went out into the wilderness to be tempted. And we know that we too are surrounded by a wilderness and that we will be tempted. And that it is for us to be like Christ, to examine our hearts, to face those temptations, and to find a way through prayer and almsgiving and fasting, if so be it, to love and serve the Lord our God with all of our hearts, our minds, and souls. So go out into the world. Go and know that you do not go alone. For the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit and draws you together with our God, goes with you now and always. Amen and amen.